Welcome to the Messy Middle podcast that follows one mom's journey to build a profitable business while navigating the challenges of life. I'm your hostess, Anita Anello, and I'm here to share wisdom, insights, and stories that will empower you to make confident decisions, take actionable steps, and break through the mental barriers that hold you back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Messy Middle. This is Anita Anello, and I am your host. And today I have a guest with me, Art Suriano, and he is the host of a radio program called Let Go and Let God. He's going to share a testimony with us today that goes back many years from 2010, where he had a radical encounter with God, and that actually shifted a bunch of stuff in his life. And this gentleman today has so many great things to share with us about his journey that he's walked through for the last several years, the last many years. And so we're just going to be so blessed today as we talk to Art and just listen to what God's doing in his life. As you're listening today, I want you to listen real closely to the testimony that he gives us about God working in his life, the endurance and the perseverance that he's had in the journey, and then also be thinking about what your next step is on your own journey as we go through this process. Art, thank you so much for being here today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be here.
You were talking before we started getting going and give me a little bit of intro. And just let's start with your testimony about where you were in your faith and the steps that you walked through to be able to just go through the journey that you're on.
Sure. Basically, growing up, I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic grammar school and then went to public high school and discovered the word called freedom. In the olden days, because I can tell you I'm older than you, Anita, going to Catholic school, you were taught, faith was taught about fear. All it was fear. You're going to go to hell for this. You're going to go to hell for that. By the time I graduated eighth grade, I probably would have gone to hell for like 300 different things. It was just crazy. Going into public high school, I found freedom. And unfortunately, what I also found was that I didn't need religion so much. That was a good thing. And then things went fine. Junior year of high school, my friends and I go see the movie called The Exorcist. The next day, we're back in church. And that lasted for 6 months. We were scared out of our minds. And then, of course, it wore it off. And then I had a similar experience when I was in college. I needed an elective. And I wound up taking this course called The Philosophy of Religion. But it was pretty dark and pretty deep as far as some things are covered. That drove me back to church for another few months.
Okay.
But after that, that was it. And then when I met my wife, Irish Catholic Italian girl, very religious family. And me at the time, I've always been a musician. I put myself through college playing in bands, so working nightclubs, bars. That didn't sit too well with her family at first. So I went back to church with her, for her. But yeah. I just wasn't getting anything out of it. And it was many years later when I figured out why. So as time progressed, I would say I was in faith, I was out of faith, and this went on for many years. I started my business in 1994. And when you have a business, you start to just focus on your business. And people would joke with me and saying, call me Mr. Business, because that's all I cared about.
Yeah.
So I really didn't go to church. I was busy with my company. Sunday mornings was a great time for me to prepare for the week. So church got in the way. This kind of went on.
Oh, yeah.
So as time progresses, now I'm going to fast forward to 2010. Not going to church, very much out of faith. I would say I wasn't an atheist, but a very big agnostic. We'll leave it there. And got diagnosed with cancer. It was prostate cancer. Thank God it wasn't a huge like pancreatic cancer or some pancreatic cancer. Prostate cancer, it's if you can take care of it early, you're okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. It was like another thing on the to-do list. Have to take care of this. So I saw some doctors, saw some surgeons, did some research, made the decision to have robotic surgery. It's an overnight procedure, have the prostate removed, not the end of the world, life continues. And it was like a no-brainer. So I go into the hospital and I have the procedure done. And when I wake up out of, come out of recovery, I wake up, I am can barely move my left or my right arm, which is weird. And at first, everyone, the doctors and nurses just assumed it was the anesthesia wearing off. But as time progressed, it got worse to the point that I had zero mobility in my left arm or right arm. And that was pretty scary.
Wow.
A crackpot neurologist walks in and says, maybe you're having a stroke. No, because when you have a stroke, you're paralyzed one side all the way down, not two arms, but we didn't talk to him after that. They left me, they kept me there another day. They did observations. They couldn't figure out what the problem was, and they discharged me and told me that I'd have to start to see a neurologist, et cetera, which is what we did. So I came home on a Sunday, and within about 4 days, my left arm started to show signs of mobility, but my right arm was completely dead. Wow. I'm right-handed. I play guitar, I play piano, I play bass, couldn't type, I couldn't dress myself, couldn't do anything. It was really a bad experience. Aww. And what was scary was, yes, we started to see a neurologist, and his opinion was, it should get better. It should come back. You should gain mobility. But there's no guarantee, and we don't know if it's going to be 100%. Pretty scary times.
Yeah.
So I started to do exercises, physical therapy. So about a month after the surgery, I get a phone call from a friend who I'd lost touch with, very, very Christian, and had a church band. And he asked me if I could play guitar in his church event that weekend. Of course, I could not. Mm-hmm. But we had a really good conversation. And he said to me that, listen, if when you get your hand back and your arm back, I know you will. I'm confident you will. Yeah. The Lord will guide you. And I said, that's interesting. And he says, when you do, call me because I could really use you. I'm still not in faith. Okay. So I said with a grain of salt, hung up the phone, said fine, and didn't think about it. As the summer rolled around, I started to get mobility and I started to play again, guitar, bass, piano. And by August, I realized I need a venue. I need an outlet. I'm not going to go back and play in nightclubs. I'm not going to go back and play in weddings. Hey, playing in the church band, Sunday night, that's great. Doesn't interfere with business.
Yeah.
Don't travel on Sunday nights. Morning, right? This is perfect. So I call him up and I started that Sunday. And that first Sunday, I got to be honest, I was there not for church, not for God. I was there to play my guitar. And that's exactly what I did. And it was a wonderful experience. Really felt like, great, I can play again. The next Sunday, I go back, same experience. Now I'm playing guitar solos. I'm really working my way up, and this is really great. But then the third Sunday, I go, and it was a beautiful church. It sat maybe about 300 people for this mass on a Sunday night. And when the homily, when the gospel was finished, everybody sat down, including the band, and I'm just sitting there listening. And then the priest starts to talk. And I swear to you, Anita, all of a sudden, it was like there was nobody in that church.
Oh.
There wasn't 300 people. There was Pat and Art Sabriana. I'm like, oh my gosh. And it was really like a chill came over me.
Mm-hmm.
His homily was talking to me.
Yeah.
And you go through life and you lose your faith and you don't have a connection with the Lord. And when you feel you don't know, it was just all these things, all these feelings that I've had for many years. And it was just like, wow. And I was stunned. Obviously, I listened to the rest of the homily and finished the mass. And I went home that night and I did something I had not done, I don't know, well over a decade.
Yeah.
I prayed. Yeah. I actually started to pray. And you know what? It felt fabulous. It felt wonderful. And the next day I prayed again and I just kept praying each day. When I went back to that church the following Sunday, I was no longer there to play music, although I did.
Yeah.
I was there because I couldn't wait to go to church. And from that moment, my whole life had a whole transition. The business continued. I still did what I needed to do. But now, it was now time for God.
Mm-hmm.
And we all kind of, some of us talk directly to God. Some of us prefer to talk to Jesus. Me personally, I have found a bond or a stronger connection, if you will, with Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
They work together. You know what I'm saying? But it's just a very comfortable feeling. And I find myself, you know, praying and just a really wonderful relationship, which is something I never had. So now as we fast forward to 2018, I had some health issues and the business had become very stressful. And after 25 years and technology changing, and I had to make a decision, do I want to really invest another $500,000 in my business Or do I, and maybe it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Or do I want to say, you know what, it's been a great 25-year run. Let's finish out what we're doing and let's find the next chapter. And that made perfect sense. So that's what I did. I'm thinking I got 35 years experience working in retail with retailers. No consulting. It's easy. I'll find smaller companies that could use my skill set, et cetera, et cetera. Fine. Yeah. So first day, I'm just thinking about what I'm going to do and the phone rings. And it's a music director from another church calling me about a church job at another church. And when I left one part out, the group that I was playing guitar with, I eventually took that group over and had that for a few years. It was a lot of fun, great kids. So they knew about me. They knew about my reputation and in church and so on. And the guy's selling me this church. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to be a music director in a church. And then I find out it's 58 miles from my home. So I'm like, that's just too far. Thank you very much. And he's like a hammering salesman. But just think about it. Just come down and meet the pastor. He really would love to meet you. I said, fine, and I'll think about it. A week goes by, calls again, same pitch. And I said, his name was Fred. It's too far. And I said, I have to go in. I had to go in for a procedure, which was for my health. And I said, I'll be gone, be out of commission for 2 weeks. I don't know what's going to happen after that. Can I call you in 2 weeks? 2 weeks to the day, the phone rings and it's him. And I'm realizing this guy is not going to give up. I had to do a follow-up to the procedure I had. It was about 20 minutes from the church. I figured, you know what? Let me go.
Convenient.
Be polite and say why I can't do this. So I go to the church. I meet the pastor. Of course, it went well. I wound up taking the job completely by surprise. I go out in the car and I call my wife and she goes, so that they understand that it's too far and you're not going to do it Monday.
God has other plans, honey.
Right. So then, okay, so now that's when we're into 2019. Then 2020, we have the pandemic. Everything is shut down, including churches.
Right.
So I'm bored. So I get back into composing, which has always been my love, but I'd gotten away from. And I started writing new contemporary Christian music. And in 2021, I started getting published, which was great. And then later in, actually early on in 2021, there's a radio station up here. I became friendly with them and I did a couple of jingles for them as a favor.
Yeah.
And they were looking at my website and the guy says, oh, you got a lot of great music. I said, thank you. He said, I have a half an hour slot on Sunday mornings. Would you like to play your songs? I would be out of material in 2 weeks. So I said, so that's how Let Go and Let God came to be, because I thought about it. What could I do for 30 minutes? And we developed a show. And the show has been an amazingly rewarding experience. It's really geared toward people like myself that were struggling with faith, have more questions than answers, don't really know what to do, how to do, yet we really feel we're missing something. It's been a wonderful experience. I get to share a lot of my own personal experiences, play my music. I've had some great guests on the show. This particular week, I've got a bishop on that does a really nice expose of Lent into Holy Week, and it's really nice. So it's been wonderful, and I'm very blessed with it. I get really great feedback from people that listen to the show, so it's a nice thing. And that's like a short question with a very long answer. So
I love it. Okay, so let's break down a couple of things a little bit more. So a couple of things that I heard you say early on, Art, were that one is you felt like almost like the oppression of religion. My husband and I have talked about when in my generation and his generation, a lot of the messaging that we heard around God, and this is coming through the church, was that God, this mad dad. Yes. And it works its way out in a bunch of different ways, depending on the religious group that you're affiliated with. And let's just be clear, like that's all religion, right? Where God's mad at you and he's ashamed of you, or there's the Catholic guilt system, or all these kinds of wacky things. And then you start opening scripture and you read about the goodness of God and you realize, oh my gosh, God, as I used to be a youth leader. And so I would tell my girls, no matter if you have the best dad on the planet or the not like the worst dad on the planet, God's nothing like that. Like he's amazing and he loves you and he's always pursuing you. And he's just so proud that you just by looking at him, that's my kid right there. I'm so proud of them. And so we've spent some time in our household breaking that down. So that's one of the things that I heard is like that religion wrapped up with God being upset with us or angry with us or as if we're not really good enough. And we know that's not really the truth in scripture. The truth is that God's, he's just so stoked to see his kids all the time. Like wherever you're at, those are my kids right there, my sons and my daughters.
I think sometimes it's a big difference when you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, there's a lot of like almost cruel things that supposedly God has done or is going to do. And in the New Testament, of course, there's nothing like that. The New Testament's all about compassion and love and kindness and really following the golden rule. Whereas the Old Testament, I think sometimes people kind of misconstrue certain things with it. And, oh, God's a mean person. But no, God's not a mean person.
Yeah,
God is a loving God, always full of love and forgiveness, no matter what we do. Mm-hmm. You can go out and you could commit horrible crimes. But if you atone for your sins and you really are sorry for what you've done and you find the Lord, you will be forgiven.
Yeah,
doesn't mean you may have to go to jail, but you will be forgiven. And that's the beauty of it. And I look at someone like myself. I'm not going to tell how old I am, but it was many years that I was out of faith. And 14 years ago, okay, come on back.
Yeah.
Wow. And all that, probably a good 15, 20 years of like in and out of faith, and then it was all washed away. And I've been a good boy since 2010, so that's good. But it's nice to know that. And you have people sometimes finding God in their 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter as long as they find the Lord before it's too late.
Yeah. So that's the other part of it is what I'm hearing now and what we've experienced in our life. Like I feel like there was a lot of religion for my husband and I and our families of origin. And a lot of like my household was a good work system. You do this stuff and you don't do this and then you're good for later. But what I experienced is I lived like hell in the meantime. It was like, yeah, I was saved for later, but there was no transformation, mostly because I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And that's as my husband and I have been on this journey of recognizing like the father figure, the Holy Spirit figure, and Jesus, and the fact that the Trinity actually wants a relationship with us as their kids,
right?
So you have the father figure, the mother figure, and the son figure that are saying like, hey, come in and have a relationship with us. Like that's a totally different thing. And so just for, if you're listening today, don't miss that. We're not, at least for me, like I'm never advocating religion. I hate religion. I'm not about religion at all, but I am always recognizing that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father, they always want a relationship with me. They always want a relationship with us because regardless of how you were raised, whatever information that you were given as a young person or at any point in time, like the reality is the truth is that God made every person on the planet and he loves them and he's always trying to draw them back to them.
You're making a good point. There is that fine line between religion.
Yes.
And then the relationship with God and with Jesus. But you can get people, and I work in a Catholic church, so I'm not going to name names. But there are people that are there every Sunday, and they're blessing themselves, and they're praying, and they walk up, and they get communion, and they go back, and they pray again, and they walk out of the church, and the first thing they're doing is bad-mouthing somebody that was in the church.
Yeah.
And excuse me? What are we doing here? Religion is great, but it's basically a box full of rules. And sometimes for some people, there are just too many rules, or sometimes the rules are outdated or the rules don't make sense. I personally, I think I have found a really good balance with everything. And I always tell people, faith, keep it simple. Most important thing you want to do, first of all, make sure that you are loving God, loving Jesus, loving the Holy Spirit, loving your spouse, loving your family. Love is so important. And then after that, if you really follow the golden rule and live by that, just do unto others what you would have them do unto you. If you just do those two things, you're going to be fine. All the rules and regulations, you can't do this, you can't do that. So many of them, especially in the Catholic faith, are man-made. So you sometimes say to yourself, we're in Lent. Okay, do I have a problem not eating meat on Fridays during Lent? No, I don't. It's a sacrifice. But where does that say that in the Bible? It doesn't. So these are things you say to yourself, okay, there's these lines. Many of these things are man-made, but it's all part of the religion. So as I said earlier, I myself, I've got a good balance with it. I can go to church. I can get what I need to get out of church and still have the relationship I have with Jesus, the God, the rest of the week. You know what I'm saying? So it works out well.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so let's talk about your show a little bit. Tell me a little bit about your radio program and what's like your driving. And when I speak to my audience, we're always talking about ladies that have been successful in the corporate space, but they really have what I call a God-sized idea inside of them to be able to develop a business and take that unique skill set that they have cultivated in corporate America and then create a business around that. And so what would be some of the things that when you're creating a radio program, because that's like based on the information that you've given us, Art, like you love music, you know how to write music and compose music, and you want to be able to worship God in that process. Talk to us about your specialized knowledge and then how that works its way out in the in your radio program and your purpose in what you're in this season of life.
Sure. All right. First of all, as I said earlier, the design of the program is really geared toward a person that might be struggling with faith, that may have doubts, or they just want to strengthen their faith. I keep my topics simple. We may do a show on compassion or do a show about God's love or do a show about any simple topic that you can develop into really tie it into faith and the relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the big thing that I stress throughout the program is the importance of prayer. To me, there is nothing more important because through prayer, we build that relationship with Jesus, with the Lord, with God, whoever you're praying to. But you build that relationship, and the more you pray, the stronger that relationship becomes. And I always tell everybody, when you're talking to God or talking especially to Jesus, talk to him like he's your best friend, because he really is your best friend, and you can tell him anything. Yeah. And unlike your best friend, he's available 24/7. And he's not going to tell anybody else, which is really nice. Don't know if you can trust your best friend sometimes. And of course, people will say, but doesn't Jesus or doesn't God know everything I'm going to tell him? The answer is, technically, I'm sure he does. But when you tell him, it's coming from you and you're opening up a dialogue and you start realizing you're thinking about things that perhaps you weren't thinking until you start opening up to Jesus or God. And then you start to, you don't get an answer in the sense of, okay, Jesus says we're going to do this, but you feel better because whatever, especially if it's a problem or an issue, that burden is released and you feel that stress-free release, which is really nice. And then all you have to do is be patient. And if you keep praying and keep praying, let's say, for example, you've lost your job and you're really worried because you have this pile of bills to pay and you're going on going on interviews, you've got a resume, but nothing's happening, but you're praying to the Lord and you're praying and you're praying and praying. All of a sudden, without any doing on your own, one day, an opportunity that you never imagined would ever happen comes to yourself, and it's an opportunity. Maybe it's not just a job. Maybe it's a whole new career. Maybe it's relocating to a place you've always wanted to live. I mean, something just fantastic has happened. And that is the Lord intervening. And I myself have experienced this many times. And I've seen others that through prayer, they themselves have also experienced it. So the show talks a lot about that. There's a lot of self because I was not a good person until 2010. So there's a lot of things I can talk about that I can relate to. And I understand when people say things like, I've gone to church, but I just don't get anything out of it. That was me. We can chat and we can talk about why and what to do and how to change that and hopefully help that person back to a better path to find the Lord and to begin a relationship with him and make things better. And then, of course, the light is I do have many Christian, contemporary Christian songs, responsorial psalms. So the show is an outlet to play my music, which is nice. And the feedback, thank God, the feedback is wonderful. I have many people in my church that listen to the show. And I'm not even, half the time, I'm not even aware of it. And they'll walk up to me and say, I caught your show last week, and I got to say, it really helped me with this, or it really helped me with that. There is one person who really struck a chord, 40 years old, married with a little girl, nicest people you'll ever meet. And last year, his wife had breast cancer and wound up having a full mastectomy. And it was really a hard time. And they also have a little girl that's got Down syndrome. So they really have, for a 40-year-old couple, there's a lot of stress in their life. And he starts talking to me one day and he starts telling me about how my show has helped him get through some of the hardest times. I'm like, looking at him like, really? And he starts quoting me specific episodes, things that I said, or a prayer that I read, or a story I told. And I don't think there's any greater feeling than that. And again, it's not me. It's not my ego. It's my saying to myself, thank you, Jesus, because obviously I'm the instrument, which you're helping me help these people.
Yeah.
And that's just a wonderful feeling.
I love it.
Every time I write a piece of music, it's the same thing. It's I'm the instrument that's really taking, excuse me, what the Lord wants to be said, put into music, and it works. And we've gotten some really good stuff. So it's been a wonderful experience.
Yeah. So another thing that I'm hearing when you're talking, Art, is that you are encouraging people along the way. You're sharing your own testimony, but you're also just meeting people where they're at, which is so important because I know sometimes when you're outside of faith, then people would say, Christians aren't nice, or all these different things that they have experienced, or they don't really understand like the character of God and that kind of stuff. But I think that it's so important that us as believers recognize that, hey, we have our own struggles that we're walking through. So my job is to just show up and be the instrument that God wants to use inside of me. And so I love that. I love the encouragement. The other thing that I want to do is just to maybe equip the audience a little bit better. Like in our household, we've been practicing what's called listening prayer for lots and lots of years and experiencing a lot of what I heard, Art, that you're talking about is when I engage in a dialogue with God, with the Godhead. And again, like Art said, I 100% agree with that, is you speak to the part of the Godhead that resonates most with you. And it doesn't matter. They're all good with all of us. So it's totally fine. Whichever one you feel connected with the most.
True.
And just start there.
Of course, the biggest difference was that Jesus had much nicer hair than I have. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right. That's all right. Yeah, but in that, what we've noticed as well is that this is the experience that we've had in our household is as I read the word, as I pray to God, as I use his scripture and actually read it out loud and declare it over my household and share it and talk about it and then have fellowship with other believers, all of those things together, actually what it does is it's a form of worship. And it's also a way to create intimacy. And so one of my big things that I love is I know that the Godhead, I know that the Father wants intimacy with me, not in a weird way. If somebody's hearing that and that's grossing them out, right? It's not that at all. We have intimacy as friends. We have intimacy when we connect with one another. We have intimacy. There's intimacy when I'm seen as a person and heard and I understand my worth and my value. And then I can see the worth and the value in another person that God has created. Like those are the forms of intimacy that I'm talking about. It's the kind of relationship that we have when we spend time with a person. So if I want to spend, like my best friends are the people that I live with, my husband and my kids. And so if I want to know them more, what do I do to that? I spend time with them. I talk with them. I get to know them. I listen to them. And so I just want to encourage somebody, if you're not familiar with the kind of prayer that Art's talking about or that I'm describing, it's simple. It doesn't have to be, there's a form of prayer called liturgy. It doesn't have to be like rote or memorization or anything like that. God loves that prayer can be exciting. It could be new. Mm-hmm. It could be fresh. It can be different every single day. There's gobs of different ways that you can learn how to pray and practice prayer. I would also say there's definitely seasons when different styles of prayer look a little bit better for us. If I'm walking through something hard, my prayer with God is usually one of two things. It's crying out and it's wrestling. I have a tendency to wrestle with God and wrestle in the form of, Lord, this is what you promised me. This is what I know that you've shown me. This is the vision that you've given me. Let's work it out. Let's talk this out. And then being able to hear from God. And we can also hear from God in a bunch of different ways. We can hear from God by other people and reading the word. You can hear the audible voice of God. Like you can have a check in your spirit. There's lots of different ways that God loves to communicate with us as his kids, whether we know him or not. Like he's not really worried about that. Because it's just as easy as, yes, Jesus, I say yes to you. And then I have a relationship with the Father. And then I get filled with the Holy Spirit. Those are the simple steps. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that.
Great. You're making very good points. And oftentimes people, they get confused. The minute they think of prayer, oh, Hail Mary, full of grace, our Father. Okay, it's nice to say written prayers. They're wonderful. But really, it's that dialogue beyond the prayer, what you just said, opening up, talking as if you're talking to your best friend, having a conversation, having a chat. And I tell people this all the time. I have my long prayer time at night before I retire, but throughout the day, mm-hmm. I'm chatting with the Lord or chatting with Jesus. Something good happens. Oh, thank you, God, for that.
Yeah.
Because it was nice. If I have to make a decision on something, I might take a second and actually just pray on it to make sure I'm making the right decision. So I'm engaged in prayer a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a great way of life because you don't feel those burdens of and stress because you're just giving it all to the Lord, thus let go and let God, right? But it's true. But another thing, if you want to talk about it, that comes up often, and I actually did a couple of shows about it too. The minute something bad happens, what do people do? They blame God, right? Now, sometimes it could be really catastrophic. A husband loses his wife or his wife loses a husband from cancer, illness, death. That's horrible. Or they've had a horrible car accident, or they've lost their job, or they've had financial difficulties, they're going to lose their home. These are all serious, very difficult things to deal with.
Yeah.
But what do? They blame God. And that's so wrong because God, the misconception in the Catholic faith, at least, we're taught that God has a plan for everyone. Okay. But then we're also taught, but you have complete free will to do as you choose. Where they don't make the connection is when you go off on your own and abandon God, whatever God's plan may or may not be, you're not going to make that connection because you're over here someplace else. Mm-hmm. And then you're dealing with the devil and the temptations and everything else. And we have to understand that God is always there and God is there when those bad things happen. He's the first one to turn to for that help, for that strength to get through it. It's not going to make it go away. The person that maybe is in financial distress and on the verge of, foreclosure, bankruptcy, it's not that he's going to make that go away, but he may give that person the strength that maybe they can become a little more strong about it, talk to creditors, and maybe work out something before it gets to the point where they have to have bankruptcy or foreclosure.
Yeah.
Obviously, if the person has lost their spouse in death, that's a really hard thing to handle.
Yeah.
But again, God didn't cause that. At least I don't think so.
That's right. Yeah.
But God is there to help that person to make them understand that there's more to life and whatever the next chapter in their life will be.
Yeah.
And it's a tough discussion because, as they say, people sometimes are so angry. Oh, I used to go to church and then this happened and I never forgave God. Okay, we got to talk about this because you're really going on the wrong path.
Yeah.
And of course, the devil loves this because the more the devil can pull us away from the Lord, the happier the devil is. And in today's world, I just think the devil has just had so much influence with all the hatred and racism and violence and wars. And I think the devil's having a really good time. And it's unfortunate because too many people have left the church and have abandoned God. And this is, I think, the result.
Yeah. It's an interesting season that we're in.
And yes.
Certainly there's lots of opportunities to have a revival and have a more of a heart-to-heart with God and be able to tell him. Like if maybe your one action item from listening to this episode today is just have a heart-to-heart with God and tell him. He already knows where you're at.
Exactly.
If you're struggling with something, if you're not really sure what your next step is, like just have that heart-to-heart with God. He's never going to be offended by everything that you bring to him. So don't hide anything from God. It would be my recommendation is like, just bring that raw, unfiltered, unedited realness of saying, God, this is hard. Life is hard. Life is absolutely hard sometimes. And sometimes it's harder in other seasons than it is maybe right now for you. But as we look at just the chaos that's around us, the confusion that's around us, what better time to be able to have peace and have the light of the Lord inside of us to be able to help somebody else. And so that would be my big recommendation there is as you're listening today, just take a pause. If you're listening to it driving, wait till you stop driving and then be able to say, or just talk to God while you're driving in your car. God, this is hard. I'm not sure what to do next. And then just wait and listen and see what he does because he's always so faithful.
Yes.
He's so faithful to be able to respond to his kids, even before we know him. Because here's the reality, everybody. We didn't choose him. He chose us.
Right? Exactly.
And he's always chasing after us. Yeah. So Art, as we wrap up today, I love to get practical and tactical on the show. So what would be like one encouragement or step that you could help somebody to just say, how can you help them take their one next right step of integrity in their lives? What would be the one thing that you would recommend for people?
Sure. So if you're someone like I was 14 years ago that was confused, searching for answers, not sure why am I here, what happens after death and all those other things, but you're not in faith, you're not going to church, you're not doing anything regularly, just start very simply with just opening up a dialogue. Mm-hmm. You can choose whether you want to talk to God, you want to talk to Jesus, or reach out to the Holy Spirit. As Anita said, they do work in tangent. That's it, the three of them together.
Yeah.
But open up that dialogue. And just, it can be something as simple as, hi, Jesus. It's been a long time since you and I spoke, but let's have a chat and just start talking. And talk about whatever you want to talk about. Make sure you're thankful for what you do have, because that's so important. And we all have things to be thankful for, whether we realize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever you're troubled with, open up the dialogue about that. Whatever you're stressed over, whatever you're dealing with, what you're faced with, maybe you have an estranged relationship with a child and you're really hurting on that. You want to somehow open up, you know, a way to build a relationship. Talk to Jesus about all of these things. But don't just do it once and say, okay, I'm done. No, do it again and again and again. I always tell my people, you have to pray every day at least once a day. And that once a day shouldn't just be like, hi, God, see you tomorrow. No, that's not a prayer. Talk to the Lord and spend considerable time talking. As I said earlier, throughout the day, quick seconds, thank you, God, thank you, Jesus. I'm quick to do that. But yeah, at night, I'm engaged in a prayer, and that's important. So you have to pray every day, at least once a day. And if you're praying on something specific, you need that new job. You need to be approved for that mortgage. You've got this illness that you have to deal with. Whatever it is, pray and pray and trust that the Lord will lead you where you need to be. And as I said before, doesn't mean it's going to just go away. It might. But you might be surprised on what takes place. Look at myself in 2019. Here I am, Mr. Business. I retired from my business, and I have done a complete 180 with my life.
Yeah.
A music director of a church, a published composer, host of a Christian radio show. If someone had told me that years ago, I'd say, okay, you need to see a therapist. You wouldn't believe it, okay?
Yeah.
So that's all God, and God has had his hand in all of this. I know it. And I'm blessed by it because it's just a great way to live.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome.
Long answer for a short question.
Oh, no, that's good. That's good. I love the way that you break things down, Art, because you're just being real. You're being real and transparent about what your prayer life looks like for you. And that encourages other people as they listen to that. This is what it looks like for this guy. So if it's that simple, then maybe I can do it. I would also maybe add another thing for that is if you feel like you need somebody to stand in faith with you or for you while you're standing in the gap, reach out to Art. If you need to be able to have somebody stand in faith with you, reach out to me. Know that there are other people around you. There's probably somebody you work with that's a Christian. There's probably somebody that's in your neighborhood that's a Christian. Just being able to share, hey, I'm praying for this thing. You don't even have to be specific about the thing because God already knows what you're praying for.
Agreed.
And so that can be a help as well, is that you can cry out to God, be in a dialogue with God, have that intimacy with God and build that over time by doing that every day, just like you would with the people that you see in your life every single day. And then if you need an extra boost or an extra help along the way, then reach out to people that are more than willing to just link arms with you. Like scripture says, where two or three are gathered, God is right in the midst of that. And so then he can move heaven and earth for us. And as we bind the things on earth and loose the things of heaven, like that's when the miracles and the signs and the wonders start following the believer. So we know that that's possible each and every time that we come together as people of faith. And so I just want to thank you, Art, for being here today. Your testimony has been amazing. So thank you so much, Art. I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure, and look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us today on the Messy Middle Podcast. We hope this episode has inspired, encouraged, and equipped you to navigate the challenges of building a profitable business while balancing the demands of your work life, your faith, and motherhood. We would love to hear from you. Connect with us on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or at our website, therippleeffect.net. To share your thoughts, questions, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. You can also find us at anitaanello.com. Until then, be well and know that we are cheering you on.